You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. And this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. And we back, and we back, and we back. This is the Family Feud episode. We're going to be discussing the issues that occur within the black community and how we can do better, because we always can. Once again, I'm your host, Brother Charles, on this wonderful Friday. It's a calm, about 60 degrees outside, overcast, but we feeling sunny on the inside. All good vibes all the time. This episode is brought to you by Styles by Val and Cuts by Trey. They'll finesse you any and every day. If you're a baller on a budget, or a diva in debt, go ahead and head over to Souls 220 and watch you get finessed for the low. I got a lot to discuss, but not really. I'm going to go ahead and go vibe out. Sorry for the delay. I had to do my student thing. I got a grade on a paper that wasn't necessarily the best, but I got a chance to rewrite it, so you already know the rest. Shout out to Aya for going ahead and helping me with some difficult reading, man. It's kind of crazy that, a lot of folks go to school and read these extensive readings, but don't necessarily, learn how to read for understanding. And I think that's something I need to work on, is reading and really retaining, what I'm reading. I love to read, novels and a lot of biographies and autobiographies and stuff like that, but I'm not too keen on a lot of informational stuff unless it's on a computer screen, and I need to get away from that. But we steady rocking. This episode is going to get down to the nitty gritty. I'm going to talk about these debacles going down at Howard. I'm going to talk about the issues that we see within the community that we need to work on, and things that we can solely take responsibility for. Because, even though sometimes we can automatically point to systemic oppression, we can automatically talk about discrimination, there's definitely some things that we can work on within ourselves to make sure that we're not, perpetuating anything or making or prolonging any issues that should have been dealt with a long time ago. So nobody wins when the family feuds, like my man Jay say. So that's what we're going to talk about today on Time and a Half. But before I do, you know, we already know it's a family affair. We gonna let Sly and Sister Mary get y'all hit. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Thanks for rocking with me.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good to mom, blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
What a bear. What a bear.
Preaching on that one. Also, if your cookout don't got that on the playlist, don't invite me. Straight like that. It's a lot popping right now on campus. By the way, we got Noche de Pasión later on tonight, hosted by none other than the Hispanic Students of Lafayette. Hispanic Society? Hispanic Students of Lafayette. And it's going to be a dope show. It's kind of the first of its kind, and I'm really proud of all the cultural organizations on campus right now for really providing programming and events and discussions about things that we've really been trying to do for a long time, and hopefully we'll continue to do so in the future. I think a lot of events that ABC, NIA, and HSL have planned, I definitely think that can be done in future years, and that's what we're trying to do. I had the opportunity to be interviewed earlier today by a couple of cats in communications who I think are some good dudes doing some good work. And I had the opportunity to discuss what I would say to future, you know, black students at law. And it made me reflect on how I maneuvered my space here within the black community as a leader, but just also a cat who came in at a very transitional phase on campus. The seniors that were here when I came were some of the dopest folk to ever walk this campus, in my opinion. I know I'm biased, but that's just how I feel. Folk in DC Posse 7, New York, what were they, New York 11? With some of the most genuine, honest, hardworking folk that I've ever met in my life. Really some big bros and big sisters, like who wasn't gonna let you slack, who weren't gonna let you go by the wayside. As soon as they were, "Oh, you posse? Oh, or you black? Like, come on over." And I think that that's important within the black community, because I've talked to a couple of cats here, and we have conversations about how we're passing the torch and passing the baton, and are we really looking out for the young brothers and young sisters who are coming behind us? Because if we're not, then we're really, number one, being selfish, but we're not helping our community in any way, shape, or form. And yeah, we might have our negative experiences in whatever majority white space that we're in, but we shouldn't let our any bitterness or frustration deter us from paving the way for the next person. And I think that paving the way is one aspect of it, but also we have to make sure that we're reaching back and making sure that we're pulling them through the path. Because just because, you know, you got an open road in front of you doesn't mean that you necessarily have the tools or the map to know exactly where you need to be going. And I think that's an important piece from within the community is, yeah, we're all grinding, you know, we're all trying to get to where we need to be. We're all trying to reach our destination, but there's some folk behind us who don't got the addy, you know. It's this running joke where, you know, folk will be like, "Oh, you don't got the address? Oh, just follow me." But then be driving all types of ways just because they're familiar with the road, and then the person behind you gets lost. So we got to make sure that we're not only doing the work, but giving the young brothers and the young sisters the formula to do the same. Because it's a heavy equation out here, maneuvering white spaces with black skin and maneuvering white spaces with brown skin. So it's important that we put as much effort into, you know, writing our own story into passing the pen off. So that's my tidbit so far. Oh, I just remembered. That kind of is a good segue into how our community is responding to the current state of our HBCUs. I got a couple folk in HBCUs right now. One of my good homies is at Hampton. I'm the child of two products of Morgan State University, which was very prominent in the 70s where my parents were attending. And right now, HU, Howard University, is going through it. If you didn't hear, it just came out that last year, 6 staff members were fired after almost $1 million was embezzled from the financial aid office. And as a result, you can guess that many a student at Howard was forced to was forced to drop out due to, you know, financial hardships. And, you know, you go on Black Twitter, you know, we make light of pretty much anything. It's kind of, it's a blessing and a curse, because sometimes we don't really recognize the magnitude of a situation simply because we're looking for a laugh. And, you know, I participated in that before. And yeah, initially it's funny because, you know, a student, I believe, who was undergrad at the time, either was doing work study by the name of Tyrone Hankerson. He was either undergrad at the time or currently at the Howard Law School. Was work study in the, what's up, Jerome, the financial aid office, and was able to acquire over $400,000 of these students' financial aid dollars. You got people really needing like a G to stay in school, $1,000. That's literally what it boils down to. I've had folk have to drop out because they couldn't come up with like less than $2,000, right? But to somebody who is low income, that $2,000 is an astronomical amount. And you got this brother really out here holding on to $400,000 and probably hundreds of students' futures in limbo because of his selfishness. And you go on his social media, you know, before he deleted everything, you know, he's out here traveling and got his toes out in Cuba. He got the furs, he got the Gucci bags, he got the nice whips, you know, with the captions to match. They get people out here like, dang, I wonder how Tyrone finessing like that, because he's finessing his own people. And, you know, it's kind of a running joke right now, but that brother's a traitor. And that's a harsh word, but that's a harsh action to rob somebody of really a smooth transition into their future as a result of your own greed. You know, you go into HU, you got a nice network. You know, if you go into law school, you probably gonna step into some nice spaces where you can make a life for yourself. You know, but you being selfish in the meantime blocks the blessings of individuals who are working twice as hard as you and who are trying to do it the right way. And I think that it's necessary for us within the Black community to recognize that there are people who have malicious intent, regardless of their skin, who use their community in any way, shape, or form, either for a dollar, for clout, for a better position, for more recognition from the white man, whichever. And it's unfortunate, but it's also necessary that it's called out and denounced in every form, because it's abusive and it continues the cycle, right, of division within the community. Because what's crazy is a lot of folk are, you know, focused on the Tyrone situation, but you have to recognize that it's a lot of layers to embezzlement. And you have to look at Howard's administration. You have to look at the individuals in the financial aid office who are allowing this to go on. And Howard is seen as really the mecca when it comes to HBCUs. I got accepted into Howard, but they wasn't throwing your boy no financial aid, so I had to skedaddle. But it's the university that Black people recognize as having a level of prestige, recognition, and to say that you went to Howard and you were a product of Howard within the Black community does still hold some weight centuries after. And within the community, we should definitely be rooting for every HBCU. We should want every HBCU to be successful because we have to recognize the history behind it. We have to recognize that HBCUs were birthed out of discrimination. And as a result, a lot still flourish or trying to flourish, but a lot have closed down. people aren't giving back like they're supposed to. And I know after this whole debacle, a lot of people from ACU going to stop giving because they think that the administration isn't handling their funds in the right way, which is correct currently. But the only people that really going to suffer are folk who are trying to go to Howard, the students currently at Howard, right? Who don't have the financial, who have financial hardships, but are now missing out on opportunities because Howard's endowment is decreasing because certain people want to be selfish and continue this cycle of self-abuse, because it's harming yourself when you harm your community. It's self-harm when you're harming your own community, yo. And a lot of people don't recognize that. But there's different layers to this. There's different sectors. It doesn't always have to just be about the bread. It can be about different phenomena. When I come back, we're going to talk about sexual assault within the community, and the way we look at, the way we respond to it, as well as mental health. Keep rocking with me on Time and a Half with Brother Charles. I'm going to let y'all listen to the beloved Queen Latifah. Shout out to her. She's had a birthday and just had her mother pass. So we gonna let her up with this classic U-N-I-T-Y, U-N-I-T-Y. Keep rocking with me.
Lord Jesus. I hate these headphones. All right. My emotions sway. It's time and a half with Brother Charles. Listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania. This is the Family Feud episode. I'm talking about conflicts within the black community. I want to take the necessary time to talk about what's going on in my life first, though. Got some bad news. Had a loss in the family. Professionally known as Black Beauty. My boombox passed away a couple weeks ago, man. Yo, this is hard, man. Like, she been holding me down for like 2 years. You know, would turn that joint on and she would just fill up any room, you know. Everybody loved her. You know what I'm saying? But she gone now. And there's nothing I can do about it. You know, but just move on. So I got this GoFundMe. Right now on my Facebook. If you scroll down, I'll probably share it again. I'm trying, you know, get the funds to get me a new speaker. But by the time it gets a little warm outside, so I can vibe while I sit on the quad and read my books. Like my Caucasian peers. Maybe play a little Ultimate Frisbee. While the tunes play in the background. So, you know, if you're down with the cause, go ahead and bless up a little bit. But yeah, back to the lecture I had. I appreciate all the love so far. I want to talk about the way that the black community has dealt with sexual assault and mostly the treatment of our sisters. I just read an article, read an interview more so, of this sister who was dealing with R. Kelly, and how basically the way he treated her from like the age of 15 up until the point where she left. I think she was in her 20s by the time she got from under his grasp. And I think in this case, the fact that number one, R. Kelly is still free, right? If you're not familiar with Robert Kelly and his music, you probably stepped in the name of love once or twice or beep beeped to Ignition Remix once or twice on the dance floor. But cuz has been a whole predator within the black community for decades now. And no, like, we haven't disclaimed him. We haven't ostracized him. He's still allowed to come to war shows. But now it seems he's kind of like becoming a recluse on his own time. And we've just allowed him to swoop up black girls along the way. Like, y'all, age ain't nothing but a number. That was him. He married Aaliyah at 15. And nobody was like, we should probably get him out of here. Like, that's fact. You could go check that. Like, she put down that she was 18 when she was originally 15, and her family was like, no, like, stop this. And then the album came out. Like, these are actual factuals. But I think that R. Kelly's situation just speaks to the fact that we don't, as much as sisters check for us, and when I say us, I mean literally the rest of the world, like, black women have been at the forefront of so many movements, and as a result, change has been enacted. And excuse my congestion. I'm allergic to the school. but in all actuality, I was having this conversation in my black feminism class, taught by the wonderful Randy Gilsadler, probably one of the dopest additions to Lafayette's faculty in the last decade, in my opinion. Argue with me physically if that's how strong you feel about it. But we were talking about when it comes to revolutionary action and revolutionary violence, it seems as though the black woman is going to be the main casualty, and we as a community need to address that in order to avoid that. Everybody talks about how, like, you know, Black Panther, like, Killmonger, man, like, Killmonger is me. Killmonger wasn't even really a villain like that. You know, anybody who got an imperialist mindset is problematic in itself. But, you know, don't forget to see where he chokes up the old lady in the little garden. I don't even know what that joint is. Fake tomb thing. He chokes Shorty up. Disrespectful. And I think that's a testament to how the revolution for Black people will be complicated if we can't find a way to do it in a fashion where the Black woman is just as empowered as the Black man. Because we have to also discuss that if we're talking about a Black revolution, are we talking about Black supremacy? And when we talk about the idea of supremacy, it's usually under the guise of patriarchy. And if we're just replacing white supremacy with Black supremacy and the white patriarchy with the Black patriarchy, then we're really doing ourselves an injustice simply because Black women are the more powerful force within our movements. The only reason why we can't, somebody might not agree with me on that, or somebody might look at me crazy when I say that, is because within the Black patriarchy, we have a hard time recognizing the power of our Black women and also recognizing our male privilege, period. I think Black men have a hard time with recognizing that we do share a privilege simply based on our gender. And as a result, we are not completely at the bottom of the societal totem pole. That's definitely our women. And it is up to us to recognize that, right? And to consciously be trying to do away with that system that allows them to be disregarded in every way, shape, or form possible. And we see that within the way the sisters in the R. Kelly situation are dealt with. We see that in the way that sisters who spoke up within the Me Too movement were received. Like, all these actresses came out against Harvey Weinstein, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, she's such a monster, I'm so sorry. And then as soon as the homie Lupita said something, they was like, okay, well, he ain't that bad. Like, literally, you could see the lack of support as soon as a sister spoke up. And I'm sure that, you know, the sexual assault and rape culture within Hollywood, that is exacerbated in Hollywood, but definitely apparent in pretty much all corners of society. It takes a white woman reporting something in order for anything to even be listened to. And my thing is, if white women ain't even being listened to, and white women are being disregarded when it comes to cases of sexual assault, there's slim to none no chance that a Black woman will be given any ounce of respect or any ounce of people's time. So I think we as a community need to at least be the first ears open when a Black woman speaks. I think my assignment for whoever's listening is, did you listen to a Black woman this week? Next week, is a Black woman going to be in the position to say, I told you so? If so, you need to make some adjustments. Because that's not how we should be living our lives. Straight like that. And I think as I ponder on my experiences, you know, being a Black male and being a part of the patriarchy and how that has shaped who I am, right? It's possible for you to unlearn some of the unhealthiest aspects of your upbringing, right? A lot of people think that just because that's how you grew up, like that's how you were raised, that's how you saw things, yada, 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 that that's how you need to continue your life. And that's simply just not the case. We as a community owe our sisters better, right? And we need to stop perpetuating the most negative aspects of the folk who colonized us. Because I believe that the most negative aspects, right, of society have come from colonizers. If we keep it at $2 and a quarter. Like, some of the worst aspects of society that need to be unlearned have come from a colonialist, imperialist, Western mindset, in my opinion. Right? Well, we see patriarchy everywhere. That is true. But the ways in which some of the negative aspects of society, period, are exacerbated and emphasized, right, and re-emphasized, we see that in the West. And then you add on top of that discrimination, Lord Jesus, there's a lot of work to be done. But at least it can start within ourselves. Because once again, nobody wins when a family feuds. And there's certain conversations that shouldn't be taboo anymore. And even though Sade says that there is some sweetest taboos, there's certain things that we need to be able to talk about, especially with the sisters that raised us, the sisters that we call our girlfriends, our wives, our ladies, period, our daughters. We should be able to have these conversations and deconstruct the systems that make them second-class citizens, even though we call them our queens. But I'm going to let the sultry sounds of Sade transition us into our next topic. But once again, this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Sweetest taboo. You know, I never knew that Sade was the name of the whole band. I thought it was just a sister from Nigeria. Also, special service announcement. ABC going skating next Friday. Bounce. Skate. But nah, it's going to be lit. It's a whole bunch of stupid events going on next week. But ABC and Nia to the rescue. Because we got Wingo. That's Wings and Bingo at 7. And we going skating at 10. And that's how we do things around here. Speaking of taboos, want to touch on this. I talk about this a lot. The importance of mental health within the community. Stop belittling people with mental health. Stop trying to shrug off your anxiety. Stop trying to shrug off your depression. Stop trying to shrug off post-traumatic stress. There are certain elements that are accompanied with being oppressed. There are certain elements that come along with being raised a certain way. There are certain elements that come along with experiencing trauma. And certain ones are particular to being a part of the Black community. I don't think a lot of people understand how trauma can be continued. Trauma can be passed down through generations and reintroduced with new generations. Some of us are still, we may not be in bondage anymore, but some of us are still struggling with the remnants of the vile lived experiences of our ancestors. It's a hard pill to swallow, but that is the reality. And I read articles, and I'm blessed to be in love with a woman who wants to help people with mental illnesses and practice psychiatry. And she shared an article with me regarding the need for more Black therapists and psychiatrists, because more Black people are going to therapy, which is a wonderful thing, because a generation ago, people were still being told to just pray it away. And then we saw, you know, Black teen suicide rates skyrocket as a result. And people are trying to avoid that, and people are taking the necessary precautions to making sure that their mental health is A1, because that's the first step in having overall wellness. And if that's not your main goal, then you're not taking care of home. And you can't take care of the rest of the world if your home is in disarray. I think I'll leave it on that note. Shout out my big sisters who just turned 26 and 28 a few days ago. They old as a mug. Like, as soon as my oldest sister Kayla hit 30, like, it's a wrap. I'm cool. I'm good off getting older, because I can't even imagine my sister being 30 years old. It's crazy. But I'm gonna leave y'all with a song that is near and dear to my heart. It was one of my father's favorites. And on the same day my sister's birthday, he went home to be with the Lord. And I think on his 30th anniversary, it's only right that I still give the Lord praise for welcoming my father home and not letting him suffer any longer. So let me thank y'all. Let me thank y'all for rocking with me once again. I love doing this show. This is probably one of my favorite hours of the week, man. Because after a long week of dealing with the ups and downs of college and, you know, the struggle of trying to get a summer job and all those things, it's cool to just sit back and let the music do the talking for once and just vibe out. This is Total Praise by Richard Smallwood, and I hope you all are blessed after listening to it. Appreciate y'all, and I'll see you next week. Happy Easter. Happy resurrection. He is risen. The Lord has risen. Be blessed this week. Have a wonderful Easter. Happy Good Friday to all my good people. This is once again Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Thanks for rocking with me.